What up? 101.1, The Answer, Doc Washburn. It's a Friday night, and I've got stuff that nobody else wants to talk about. What is the deal behind all the anti-Semitic protests going on, college campuses all over the country? What's going on with that? Also, what's going on with the political persecution of a former president who's the Republican nominee to run for president again? What's going on? Is there foreign money? Is there foreign money behind these violent protests on college campuses, which are making Jewish students feel unsafe? Now, that sounds almost like a notification. So file that away in case it comes in handy later. Columbia University, wasn't that the one that was telling the Jewish professors, yeah, probably don't want to come to work today? Right? There's an old saying. There's an old Italian saying.
Actually, Sicily, capisce la famiglia, the fish rots from the head.
We'll get to it. So, Joe Biden, I don't know if you heard yesterday, it was a video that went viral, but of course none of the news media wants it. You hear about it. He's doing a speech yesterday, and he said, what's the answer? 4 more years. Pause. See, the word pause was an instruction to him to pause. It wasn't a word he was supposed to say. You see where I'm going with this? So, the great Mark Hemingway, reporter over at Real Clear Investigations, was looking at that and was saying the temptation is to joke about this stuff. I do it all the time. But it's truly amazing how the corporate media just continue to ignore the near constant barrage of dementia and lies. Biden is clearly non compos mentis. That means not in his right mind. Or as Letterman would say, not hooked up right. And we deserve an honest national conversation about this. Yes, Brother Hemingway, we do deserve an honest national conversation about this, but don't expect that to happen. Don't expect that to happen. Look, let me tell you something about Biden. Back when he was vice president, every 2 years he got to swear in either reelected senators or new senators that had just been elected. You got to put your hand on the Bible and pledge. It's a big deal. Covered live on C-SPAN. Senator's whole family would come out. Big deal. Sometimes 3 generations. And at some point in the proceedings, Biden would tell everybody, okay, look up at the cameras way up there. Look up there, like pointing in the gallery. And Biden would take that opportunity to molest little girls. Well, he thought nobody else was looking. But it was all live on C-SPAN. There's video of it. Now, if Fox News had run that video back when it first came out in 2017, Biden would never have been the nominee in 2020, and you can't tell me they did not know about it. Forget the mainstream media. CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC. Fox News is supposed to be the one that leaned conservative, right? I'm just saying. It was out there. It's still out there. No, I tell you what, if you want to know exactly what I'm talking about, because sometimes you can find it on YouTube and sometimes you can't find it on YouTube. If you want to know exactly what I'm talking about, it's still on Twitter, and I'll tell you exactly where to find it. There's a guy named Richard Armande Mills, and his Twitter handle is Ram Rants, like R-A-M, like, you know, Dodge Ram. No space, one word, Ram Rants, like, you know, you want to rant about something. R-A-M-R-A-N-T-S. And the pinned tweet, the first thing you see from November 13, 2017, he says, it's time to talk about former Vice President Joe Biden, the open sexual predator. And then he just does a thread with all kinds of videos of Joe Biden being inappropriate with little girls. Right on C-SPAN. Right on C-SPAN. So, anyway. Now, speaking of Biden, Biden went on an interview show this morning with probably, since Rush passed, God bless him, probably the most well-known talk show host, if you want to call him that, shock jock, Howard Stern. So Biden goes on with Howard Stern this morning and says all kinds of lies. And Stern knows he's lying, but that's just fine. You know, because Howard is down for the struggle, you know? And who knows how much he got paid for this. I mean, I don't think Stern does anything free, do you? And I'll bet you, because a lot of Stern's listeners are blue-collar folks who are just trying to struggle to pay their bills, paycheck to paycheck. I'll bet you there are a number of them cussing at their radios. Oh, that's right. He's not actually on the radio, is he? He's on satellite. Okay, cussing at their satellite radios. Yeah, that's what Stern's on. So anyway, producer Asher, if you could play the first clip of Joe Biden lying on the Howard Stern show this morning.
I learned a lot, and I made a lot of friends.
Did you ever save anyone's life when you were a lifeguard? Was anyone ever drowning? You did?
Yeah, well, half a dozen times. Usually younger kids, you know, but...
You do the thing with the whistle and then jump in the bathing suit? And
you got it.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's a big pool. There were 7 lifeguard stands.
Wow. See, that would define my... I would brag about that everywhere I went.
Well, by the way, I did it up in Lake Ontario, too, when I was in law school. But look, one of the things that...
you saved a dude's life when you were in law school? You were still doing the lifeguard thing?
Yeah, lifeguards, I mean, you know, people just need help sometimes. I mean, it's not like it's so heroic.
Okay, I want to remind you about something. In case you didn't hear the podcast I did a while back, George Stephanopoulos had interviewed Sam Bankman-Fried, one of the biggest swindlers in the history of the financial markets. The guy who was over there in Bermuda, Sam Bankman-Fried. And Stephanopoulos interviewed him and just uncritically accepted everything he had to say. Didn't push him on anything. And at the time, I said on my podcast, this is because they're in the same club. Now, Stephanopoulos might not have committed financial crimes that should put someone in prison for dozens of years. But Sam Bankman-Fried was the second biggest contributor to Democrat politicians in the 2022 election cycle. So Stephanopoulos was trying to humanize him. Okay? A lot of Americans realize that Biden is a congenital liar and has been for much longer than he has had the dementia. A lot of Americans realize he has the dementia. So somebody with the Biden campaign contacted Howard Stern's people, and Stern's like, sure, bring him on. You know me, man. I'm down for the struggle. I'm a hardcore Democrat. I'm not going to make life difficult for Joe Biden. Not like that Charlemagne guy who does a morning show on the hip-hop station in New York City. When Biden was running in 2020, who said, VP Biden, you know, you need to come up to New York and do an interview in studio. We got a lot of questions still need to ask you. And Biden's response, you got questions. Hey, if you're trying to figure out whether you're supporting me or Donald Trump, then you ain't black. Remember that? No, they set everything up in advance with Stern to make sure that you weren't going to have that kind of soundbite. And Biden could just lie through his teeth and whatever he said. Howard would be like, oh, yeah, right, of course. All right, let's play another one, Producer Asher.
I got put in that 10 most eligible bachelor's list.
Because you were a United States Senator, you were a catch.
And a lot of lovely women, but women would send very salacious pictures, and I just give them to the Secret Service. I thought somebody would think I was, and I just gave up.
So Howard Stern is not going to say, Joe Biden, you were a senator, and senators do not get Secret Service protection. Howard Stern's not going to say, Joe Biden, you are a senator and the Secret Service doesn't care what kind of mail a senator gets. Howard Stern is not going to say, Joe Biden, no matter what kind of pictures attractive women send you, unless somebody is threatening physical violence against you, nobody's going to want to know what you're getting. Nope. Howard Stern, when it comes to liberal political types, he is going to play along to get along. Producer Asher, let's go for the third one.
And I looked at my mom. I said, honey, you haven't said anything. She said, Joey, let me remember. True story. She said, remember when they were desegregating Linfield, the neighborhood, and it was, 70 homes built at one suburbia? And I told you, and there was a black family moving in, and there was people were down there protesting. I told you not to go down there, and you went down. Remember that? And you came, got arrested, be standing on the porch with a black family.
Right.
And they brought you back, the police. And I said, yeah, Mom, I remember that.
Okay. Whenever Joe Biden says true story, take it to the bank, he's lying. If you don't know that by now, I can't help you. Joe Biden wants us to think that when a black family moved into his neighborhood, the police arrested him as he was standing beside the black family on the porch. So just for standing there, not breaking any laws. So, Joe, did they arrest the black family with you who were moving into the neighborhood? Now, Howard Stern is not stupid. He's not like Joe Biden. He's not stupid. So Howard Stern knows in his heart that Joseph Robinette Biden is lying through his teeth. However, Howard is also an enabler. So when Joe Biden says, so I got arrested, Howard Stern is going to say, right. Because he wants his listeners to believe Joe Biden's lies. Matter of fact, Producer Asher isolated Stern saying the one syllable, right. Go for it.
Right.
Oh, I got to hush up. I think I was talking over it. Let's play it again.
Right.
Right. That's Stern saying, right. Yes, you got arrested for standing on a porch.
Right.
With a black family that's moving in.
Right.
Can you believe this garbage? I learned a word in college. It's called mendacity. M-E-N-D-A-C-I-T-Y. One of the guys in my dorm was talking to another guy in the dorm. And he said, so-and-so's got a class with a, I can't remember the names of any of these people. It's a long time ago. So-and-so's got a class with a professor. And the professor thinks that you're shooting the bull in a paper you turned in. He's got a stamp. And the stamp doesn't say BS. There's actually a word in the English language that means this, and it's called mendacity. It's a perfectly acceptable word to use. It's not the kind of word you have to do abbreviations because you don't want to be cussing or anything. Nowhere near cussing or anything like that. It is a perfectly acceptable word in the English language. It's called mendacity, M-E-N-D-A-C-I-T-Y. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty cool professor. Because you want to elevate the tone. You don't want to get in the gutter with people. So use the word mendacity. And that is exactly what Joe Biden is propagating with this outrageous interview that he did with Howard Stern. Producer Asher, I think we got one more Biden.
But for example, I remember starting off playing Catholic League football, CIO football.
By the way, I don't think a lot of people know that you were a star receiver in high school. You were the first string guy. You were the guy who caught the ball.
Runner up in state scoring, you know. What the
heck? Wow.
But I was a runt.
Well, I'll tell you what. That ought to seal the deal right there. No. Listen to me. If you're having a hard time paying your bills, if you're having a hard time making ends meet, and you think that Joe Biden is just making the economy worse and worse and worse and worse, when you hear that he was a star football player in high school, that's going to change everything, isn't it? I mean, what difference does it make whether you can pay your mortgage anymore? This guy was a wide receiver. Now, Howard and Joe Biden are both lying. He wasn't runner-up for yards gained. He was like fifth place. But still, what difference does it make that his fiscal policies are making it hard for you to be able to afford groceries? You got to vote for a guy who, you know, was a star football player in high school. I mean, these are the depths that we have sunk to. It's outrageous. Now, I gotta talk about something here that nobody else is talking about. It's a shame because everybody should be talking about it. And it is the question of child abuse. It's a recent story of child abuse in Houston. And it's very difficult because there's a certain culture that encourages and contributes to child abuse, and you're not allowed to talk about it. But I'm finna do that right now. Houston child abuse case uncovers larger issues no one wants to face. My buddy Robert Spencer over at pjmedia.com. And he says, a mother in Texas has pleaded guilty to severe abuse of her 14-year-old daughter, including choking, beating, and even burning. The case is horrifying enough in itself, but it uncovers even deeper issues that no one in American public life has yet shown any willingness to face. Eventually, however, these issues will become unavoidable and obvious to everyone. Click to Houston. That's Channel 2, big news station in Houston. Reported Tuesday that Sitar Majar Khan, a Muslim woman in Kingwood, Texas, a section of Houston, is accused of beating, choking, and burning her 14-year-old daughter in October of last year. At a hearing on her case, an officer explained that the defendant, upset that the complainant did not wear her hijab at school, beat and choked the complainant, causing her to lose consciousness. As if that weren't bad enough, Ms. Khan also became enraged after her daughter overcooked some pita bread. She then forced the complainant's arm onto a hot oven rack, causing her to have 3 burn marks. Yet for all of this, Ms. Khan received only cursory punishment. Khan's plea agreement included deferred adjudication for 3 years. During that time, she has to complete 100 hours of community service, donate $100 to the Houston Food Bank, cannot use drugs or alcohol, and must attend a 4-hour anger management class. So they're still going to let her read the Quran, right? That might be part of the problem, in my humble opinion. And you're entitled to it. Not only is that a ridiculously light sentence in light of what Sitar Khan did, it's also undeniable that none of it is going to ensure that she won't engage in this type of behavior again. That's because none of it addresses why this happened in the first place. The prohibition on drugs and alcohol is entirely irrelevant, as she didn't abuse her daughter while drunk or high. The anger management class is likewise beside the point, as Ms. Khan is unlikely to have acted upon a fit of uncontrollable rage. Nothing in her sentence addresses the fact that she treated her daughter this way because of principles and assumptions derived from Islamic texts and teachings. No one involved in this case, aside from the defendant herself and her friends and family, was likely aware of that or would have dared to address it if he had been. The daughter is the victim here. But it's hard not to have some sympathy for Sitar Majar Khan, who's likewise a victim of a culture that has passed on this kind of behavior from generation to generation for centuries. She was likely treating her daughter the way she herself was treated when she was a teenager. The abuse of women is hardwired into Islamic texts, and so has gone on unchallenged for generations. The Quran teaches that men are superior to women and should beat those from whom they fear disobedience. Quote, men have authority over women because Allah has made the one superior to the other, and because they spend their wealth to maintain them. Good women are obedient. They guard their unseen parts because Allah has guarded them. As for those from whom you fear disobedience, admonish them and send them to beds apart and beat them, unquote. Quran chapter 4, verse 34. This is not a dusty text that has been ignored ever since it was written. Even the prophet of Islam is said to have acted in accord with it. Muhammad's child bride, Aisha, said in a hadith that Muhammad, quote, struck me on the chest, which caused me pain, and then said, did you think that Allah and his apostle would deal unjustly with you, unquote. That's from Sahih Muslim 21:27. Another hadith states, Rifa'a divorced his wife, whereupon Abdurrahman bin Az-Zubair al-Qurayzi married her. Aisha said, that the lady came wearing a green veil and complained to her, Aisha, of her husband, and showed her a green spot on her skin caused by beating. It was the habit of ladies to support each other. So when Allah's messenger came, Muhammad, Aisha said, I have not seen any woman suffering as much as the believing woman. Look, her skin is greener than her clothes. Imagine a different world, if you can, in which Texas authorities read out such texts and others like them in the courtroom during the trial of Sitar Khan. If they had done so, at the very least, Khan's sentence would have been different and would not have wasted so much time on irrelevant provisions like no drugs and alcohol. Some people also might have begun to ponder the larger implications for women and for the nation in general of the wisdom of opening our doors to mass Muslim migration. Eventually, these issues will become a matter of national discussion, for Sitar Khans will be all over the country, and there will even be calls for the repeal of laws criminalizing the abuse of women. Despite the warning sign of Sitar Khan's case, however, it is still true that no one sees that coming. That's Robert Spencer over at pjmedia.com. Article entitled, Houston Child Abuse Case Uncovers Larger Issues No One Wants to Face. He's the director of Jihad Watch, a Shulman Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's the author of 28 books, including many bestsellers such as The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, The Truth About Muhammad, The History of Jihad, and The Critical Quran. His latest book is Muhammad, A Critical Biography. You know, they're not even really sure if there was a Muhammad, but that's it's a whole nother show. Now, what we've got to get to before we run out of time in this hour, we've got to get to why so many Republicans are being indicted, even though they didn't break any laws in Arizona. We've got to get to these anti-Semitic violent protests going on college campuses. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. As the Doc Washburn Show continues on News Radio, pardon me, 101.1, The Answer. There's an old song called You Find Out Who Your Friends Are. Now, when a former employer fired me in October 2021 because I wouldn't go along with their COVID vaccine mandate, found out who my friends are. A buddy of mine contacted me, told me that Mitch Ward over at Red River Auto had asked him if it would be all right if he gave Mitch my cell number. I said, sure. Next thing I knew, I was meeting with Mitch Ward, the owner of the Red River dealerships in Cabot, Malvern, Heber Springs, all over the place. Mitch told me that not only did he want to advertise on my podcast, but when he found out I had been fired for refusing to get the clot shot, he pulled all of his advertising off of my former employer's radio stations. I tell you what, that got my attention. That spoke integrity to me. So when I was rear-ended a couple of months later on Colonel Glenn Road by a guy who didn't even tap his brakes, my car was completely totaled. I bet you know where I went to get my next car. That was easy. Red River. You check them out. Take a look at their inventory, redriverauto.com. But better yet, go see them at their lot in Cabot. Some of the friendliest folks I think I've ever met. I always take my cars there for service. Tell them Doc Washburn sent you. RedRiverAuto.com. Now, a few months ago, my wife and I found out our daughter had lost so much weight, she was down to just 94 pounds. She got nauseous no matter what she tried to eat. She had to quit work because she got dizzy just trying to stand up. Her doctor said, hey, you have a hiatal hernia. There's nothing we can do to help you. Just go on home. And she did and continued to lose weight. So I told my wife, if we don't try to help her, she's going to die. We got to do something. So we took our daughter to see our friend, Dr. J.R. Crabtree. at the Arkansas Upper Cervical Center, and he did help her. And she stopped getting nauseous when she ate and started gaining weight, and she's back at work. What Dr. Crabtree does, the best-kept secret in American healthcare. Let me explain. Your skull weighs somewhere between 8 and 15 pounds. It rests on the top bone of your spinal column, the atlas, which only weighs 2 ounces. If that atlas bone, that C1, gets out of alignment, your whole spinal column can get kinked up like a chain. When that happens, your central nervous system can't send out the signals to different parts of your body as God designed it to do. Dr. Crabtree takes x-rays of your head and neck to find out if your atlas is out of alignment. And if it is, he gets it back in line. And he saved our daughter's life. To find out more, go to their website, turnmypoweron.com. Now, I'm proud to have Colonel Conrad Reynolds and AVII as a sponsor of the Doc Washburn Show. AVII is the America Voter Integrity Initiative. In Arkansas, we have a real problem with the way we vote. The touchscreen voting computers cannot be trusted. The cybersecurity experts and voting experts that Congress calls on all agree that we need hand-marked paper ballots that are filled out in person at the local precinct. The experts also agree that electronic tabulators cannot be blindly trusted to be accurate when counting our votes. They all agree that there must be a hand count audit of all races before an election is certified. Why have the citizens of Arkansas never been asked if they want to use voting computers? Did you know the recent Rasmussen poll showed nearly 60% of all Arkansans want hand-marked paper ballots? To find out more about what you can do, visit the website, avii.org. Colonel Reynolds and AVII are working hard to restore trust, transparency, accountability, and accuracy to Arkansas elections. Remember to visit AV, that's V as in Victor, AVII.org. 101.1 The Answer. Doc Washburn Show. Remember James O'Keefe? Guy started Project Veritas with the expose on the nonprofit called Acorn. And he just blew it up. He just blew it up. He was dressed like a pimp, and he took in a young lady who was dressed like a prostitute, and they would go into these Acorn offices and say that they had these illegal aliens underage from countries south of the border, and they're asking for advice from these Acorn offices. And they had these they took secret videos of these people. And I eventually found out the same Acorn actually owns a radio station here in a non-commercial station in Little Rock. But that's home of the show. Anyway, Project Veritas got to be kind of a big deal, and they eventually decided they could do just fine without James O'Keefe. So James O'Keefe started his own new company. OMG stands for O'Keefe Media Group. And I'll tell you, he says he's got a blockbuster coming out about the deep state. And specifically, a blockbuster coming out about our intel community. And James O'Keefe is the kind of guy that when he says, hey, I'm about to drop a story, he delivers the goods. So we got a clip of James O'Keefe talking to the guy who actually started the Blackwater Company that did a lot of work. How can we put it? They were contractors. They did a lot of work in Middle Eastern countries for us. So we got a clip where Eric Prince is discussing the weaponization of federal law enforcement by the administrative state. It's almost 30 seconds long, Eric Prince and James O'Keefe, and it goes something like this. Is it not playing?
Instead of the FBI chasing actual counterintelligence risks, they're chasing
me.
They're chasing you. Or they're harassing me, or they're chasing people that pray outside of abortion clinics. It's wrong, and it's abuse of federal power. It's a weaponization of what's supposed to be an impartial federal law enforcement, and it's wrong, and it absolutely requires change. It must be changed to the ballot box. If those kind of changes don't happen, then the republic as we know it will change very differently.
Okay, so what James O'Keefe is saying online, to get people ready from what he's about to drop, he says, I have evidence that exposes the CIA and it's on camera. I'm working on releasing a story that I believe is the most important of my entire career. Do you think it's coincidence that right at this moment I'm subject to an endless series of attacks? This is obviously a sophisticated information operation designed to stop me from releasing this story. I'm sure you recognize they are masters of using half-truths and innuendos to raise doubt against people who don't deserve it. It's meant to consume my time and energy and make me back down, but I'm not going to let it work. Rest assured, nothing will stop me from releasing this story. I urge my followers and supporters to take note of every person participating because this is the time when people reveal themselves for who they are. That's James O'Keefe, the guy who has done so much good in releasing so many undercover videos about how the deep state is violating our rights. Okay, let's go right to thefederalist.com. AP admits indictments exist to deter GOP from questioning elections. Article from Brianna Lehman. Pardon me, Brianna Lyman, elections correspondent at The Federalist. The Associated Press admitted Friday this week's indictment of 18 Arizona Republicans as part of a campaign to deter Republicans from raising challenges and concerns about the integrity of the 2024 election. Democrat Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays indicted 18 individuals, 11 of whom she claims acted illegally when they convened as alternate electors to certify the Arizona election in favor of Donald Trump while challenges to the tight election's initial results were ongoing. Under the headline, charges against Trump's 2020, quote, fake electors, unquote, are expected to deter a repeat this year. AP's Nicholas Ricciardi wrote the indictment of 18 people could help shape the landscape of challenges to the 2024 election. The indictment issued Wednesday as part of a campaign to deter a repeat of 2020, when Trump and his Republican allies falsely claimed he won swing states, filed dozens of lawsuits unsuccessfully challenging Democrat Joe Biden's victory, and tried to get Congress to let Trump stay in power. That is what Ricciardi wrote. The outlet cited Center for Election Innovation and Research founder David Becker, whose organization helped dump hundreds of millions of dollars in Zuck Bucks. Those are the dollars from the Facebook founder. Into local election offices to influence election administration to emphasize the deterrent effect. Becker told the AP, people are going to have to think twice about doing things to undermine the election. The deterrent effect is real. Ricciardi also quoted Justin Levitt, a veteran of left-wing Brennan Center, who was tapped as a senior advisor for democracy and voting rights by the Biden White House in 2021 to cheer the severity of the lawfare being waged against Republicans. He said, one of the things that fosters deterrence most is swiftness and severity. Though the wheels of justice are turning slow, they are turning, and we're seeing consequences for the lieutenants in this conspiracy. It's not just the AP drawing the connection, by the way. A well-known election integrity advocate told the Federalist she was contacted by a New York Times reporter on Thursday and was asked whether the Arizona indictments and other state elections cases impact your strategy/approach to the 2024 election. This is election interference, is what it is. And indeed, there do need to be severe consequences. No question about that. All right. Let's get into the fish rots from the head. This whole thing with these pro-jihad people, the violent protests, college campuses. Progressive billionaires aligned with the Democrat Party are sponsoring the nationwide wave of campus protests against the fake genocide charges in Gaza. Operating through the same archipelago of dark money NGOs, non-government organizations, and professional radical cadres that fueled the domestic unrest of the summer of 2020. We said as much yesterday. This is amazing. We said as much yesterday, but in a Friday report, the New York Post offered more details on the money trail, which we're mixing with our reporting. So this is the folks over at Scroll Letter, and they're quoting New York Post. At Yale, University of Texas, and UC Berkeley, student leaders of the protest are paid fellows of the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, which has received $300,000 from George Soros, Open Society Foundation since 2017, and $355,000 from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund since 2019. Two of these fellows are former interns for Democrat members of Congress, and the third, Berkeley law student Malak Afana. Doesn't sound like he's from here. Malak Afana was a self-described hijabi, someone who wears a hijab, who crashed a private dinner at the home of Berkeley Law School Dean Erwin Chemerinsky earlier this month. Now, the Columbia tent city, by the way, did you realize these ne'er-do-wells have set up a tent city, a no-go zone? On the college campus of Columbia University, yes, indeed. The Columbia tent city, according to the New York Post, was organized by Students for Justice in Palestine. That's one group. Within Our Lifetime, that's another group. And Jewish Voice for Peace, that's the third group. Now, Students for Justice in Palestine, in addition to being connected to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood through its founder, Hatem Bazian, is fiscally sponsored by Westpac. What on earth is Westpac? Jewish Voice for Peace. Oh, no, I'll look it up. I'll look it up. I hate it when they give us, abbreviations for stuff and then you got to go find out what it is. I mean, you feel like, yo, man, what it is up in this piece. Westpac Foundation. And it says, we have been a leading force for progressive social change in Westchester County, New York since 1974. We've been educating, agitating, and organizing for a more just and peaceful world and into militarism and racism and a more fair economy that works for all. So all those are lies. The last thing in the world they want is a fair economy. Anyway, Jewish Voice for Peace, what a misnomer, has received significant funding from the Open Society Foundation, this George Soros' group, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and the Kefan Foundation, founded by Sheldon Kefan, Amazon's first employee. I wonder if he's got any money. So all these groups have also, according to the New York Post, received money from the Wall Street fortune of Felice and Yoram Gelman, whose Spark Plug Foundation sponsors a variety of anti-Israel and pro-illegal immigration groups. Westpac is headed by Howard Horowitz, the president of a market research firm and a former Orthodox Jew who is also a member of the New York chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace. Westpac has received funding from Tides, progressive dark money group aligned with the Obama faction and funded by George Soros, Warren Buffett, Pierre Omidyar, and the heir to the Lehman Brothers' fortune, Peter Budenweiser, as well as from the Spark Plug Foundation, the Elias Foundation, and the environmental group Grassroots International. And just for a sense of how small this world is, Grassroots International received $1.3 million in 2022 from Thousand Currents, which is heavily funded by Peter Buffett's Novo Foundation, which also funds the Tides Foundation and the Alliance for Global Justice, and acted as a fiscal sponsor of Black Lives Matter between 2016 and 2020 until passing that role off to the Tides Foundation. Until at least the summer of 2020, when the group deleted this information from its website, the vice chair of Thousand Currents Board was Susan Rosenberg, a former member of the Weather Underground, sentenced to 58 years in prison for her role in the 1981 Brinks robbery, only to be pardoned by one, William Jefferson Clinton. One curious element of all this is that many, though not all, many of the oligarchs funding anti-Israel radicalism are Jewish. We mentioned that to frame some thoughts on the campus protests sent to us by the geopolitical analysts at Tablet, who began with the observation that these protests, unlike the 1968 Columbia University occupation, involve only a few hundred students plus outside supporters. So why can't administrators at Columbia University simply tell them to shove off? Well, here's why. This is what push-button activism looks like. The problem for the Columbia administration is that the protesters and their funders are ultimately a Democrat Party constituency. In theory, if you push hard enough, the entire constituency has its so-called rights endangered. What they're trying to do is mau-mau the Jewish folks. It's an organizing tool and proof of authenticity. Constituencies don't exist in nature. They have to be organized. The new Democrat Party is a creation of head organizer Barack Hussein Obama and the billionaire foundation land that sponsored his rise. The constituencies of the old Democrat Party need to therefore be replaced by new constituencies loyal to the new party, especially since the old constituencies were old, reflecting the social constructs from a century ago. So in the new dispensation, Jews equal Palestinians, gays equal trans, auto workers equal grad students, Italians or Irish equal undocumented migrants, etc. So out with the old, in with the new. What's new is that these groups are all top-down constructions paid for by the new oligarchs, but this also reflects a change in society. Jewish oligarchs pay to replace the Jews with Palestinians because in their minds, both groups are fictions. They're just sectarian-labeled vote containers. The point is, who controls them? It's an anti-Semitic conspiracy of Jews against Jews backed by the Democrat Party. This new party has a different operating system with different functional categories. That operating system is identity politics and symbolic sectarian representation, which makes it a perfect fit for an oligarchical surveillance state. The party can give out any title or credential it wants to. Here's Harvard, here's a Pulitzer Prize, here's Hollywood, here's a PhD in astrophysics. Meanwhile, we set the rules and we own the machines, which produce infinite amounts of money, which we also keep. The key word here is equity, a classic banker word, repurposed to also mean justice, which means sectarian representation. It's also why Queers for Palestine, or a he, she, they, student protester declaring that Zionists don't deserve to live, makes perfect sense within the structure of the Democrat Party, which positions itself as mediator among various synthetic identity groups that in reality the party creates and controls. Thus, the investments in astroturfing or co-opting party-approved representatives for each constituency. Black Lives Matter and the NAACP for black folks. Stop AAPI, Hate for Asians. GLAD and human rights campaigns for so-called gay folks. JVP and Bend the Arc for Jews. What's hard in this moment is nailing down precisely how this system operates. What are the dynamics between the party and its so-called ideology, the power of the security apparatus and the class interests of the oligarchy? Those are the meaningful players. Oligarchs, the security apparatus, the party, what reduces to what? What's a function of what? Whose interests are ultimately primary? What happens in a contest for power? The model is proto-fascism, the formation of Mussolini's Italy or Nazi Germany or the Bolshevik state. There's too much power in America for some force not to make massive gains by consolidating it into a system. That's what we're seeing. There's a physics to how systems are consolidated. We are stage X of a formative movement. We have examples of such movements going back to Greece and Rome, which is why we can still read Aristotle and it doesn't sound like gibberish. Or as Tablet's Tony Badran put it in a post on Twitter on Monday, although we intuit it, it's important to understand that sectarian structures, including militias, are organized from the top. I had somebody text me the other day, what's going on with these student protests? I said, I think their professors have been propagandizing them in the hopes that there will be a new French Revolution. And that ended very badly for all concerned. It's the Doc Washburn Show. If you didn't catch all the show, you can catch it a little bit later at docwashburn.com. See you Tuesday night at 6, God willing, right here on 101.1 The Answer.